We could almost have closing prayer and go home, couldn't we? Thank you, Gizmo. Thank you, my brother. Brother in Christ. Although you're about the same size as my blood brother.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. And you got the same haircut, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. By the way, I play ballroom pianos.
So Gizmo, real quick, you're familiar with phantom feelings, right? You know, like your leg's amputated and you feel like your big toe still itches, right? Sort of, yeah, okay, but you know what those are, right? When you jump in a swimming pool and come out, you still kind of do the Fabio thing? it's good to laugh and be happy in the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't it? And I'm glad to be back here again. I love this church. I like your new sanctuary. And I think the first time I came to this one was your second week of being in this sanctuary, and it was nice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, as we open your word for study, Father, may the words that I say today be your words. Take a coal from heaven's altar and touch my lips so that nothing but pure words will come out. Help each one here to have open ears, hearts, and understanding. If necessary, be willing to make a change in the way they're thinking about what they think they know. May all who will be receptive to your words today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my never again list. Now, first you may think of this being like, this is not like your New Year's resolutions, okay? Most people that make resolutions on New Year's Day, by the 15th, those resolutions have gone by the wayside, haven't they? If not by the 15th, at least by the 25th of January, those resolutions are gone. What I'm going to talk about today on my never again list is a lot of things that happen to us on a daily basis. We may not realize it, but we encounter a lot of situations, and sometimes we need scriptures to help reinforce a lot. Okay, so the illustrations and supporting scriptures today should give you a lot of hope and encouragement in situations you think you may be dealing with. Okay, so from Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, first thing I'll never again say is, I can't do this. Success comes in cans. I can do this. There was a story of a college student one time that, you know, in college how you wait till the night before and cram for finals. And this was like in an abstract calculus class of some sort. And he crammed and he was up most of the night and fell asleep. And when he woke up, panic, because his exam had already started. And he's like, oh no. He rushes down to the classroom. The professor said, well, we only got 3 hours for the exam. I cannot extend it past this certain time. But because nobody has left the classroom, there's no way they could have come and given you the test questions to where you could cheat. Okay, come on in and take the class, take the test. But at the end of class, you got to turn in your work, whether you finished or not. So he sits down there and he starts scratching away. And he looks up on the board and notices there's two problems on the board. So he figures, like, they're extra credit, and I can use the extra credit because, you know, cramming for this and rushing and everything. So he goes through and kind of does most everything he already knows. He looks at the two problems on the board, finishes one, and tries to start to the second one, and the teacher calls time on him. So he kind of sheepishly turns in his test paper on the way out. Next day, that professor, the dean of the program, and the college president come into his dorm, knock on his door, and he looks outside and see who's there, and he's like, oh no, they think I've cheated or something. You know, the worst case scenarios were running through his head. He was thinking stupid stuff like that. Excuse me, I forgot to turn this off. Okay, that won't bother me again. So he thought he was in trouble. When they came into the room, they started explaining to him. At the beginning of the class, the professor said, "Work all the problems you know how to work. Then come back to the ones you don't know how to work and work them, because some of them may be more difficult to solve than the other." Here's two examples of unsolvable problems. And he wrote them on the board. That student had solved prior to that unsolvable problem. And he didn't know it was unsolvable. He thought he had to do it, so he did what it took to solve it. Okay? Success comes in cans. Our scripture for that is familiar. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So I can do this if you put your mind to doing it, because Christ will give you the strength to do it. And I'm pretty sure that boy may have said some prayers before he took that test. The next, "Never again will I lack anything. I will not admit that I'm lacking something that is very important to me." Why? Because Jesus says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Did He say He would supply all of our wants? No. All of our needs. Okay? You know, we need a car. It might not be a Jaguar. It may be a Chevrolet or a Ford. But that's your need. Okay? Now, in some cases, yes, God is good to those that are faithful to Him. And yes, He does provide a lot of wants to us. And I'm thankful for the wants that He supplies to us. But all He's promised and guaranteed is our needs, and He knows what we need before we ask Him. Next on the list, fear. "Never again will I fear or be afraid." How many of you have ever been afraid? I know I have. I'm scared of some things. You know, believe it or not, I'm scared of snakes and not afraid of heights. Go figure. When I was little, like about five or six, I don't know how little I was, and this was back in 19 when I was little. Okay, my dad had several cars and several people and salesmen, and he had back in the day before cell phones, business radio, FM businessman radios, and he put an antenna in our backyard, 148 feet off of the ground. And the reason it stopped at 148 was he wanted to make sure he was under 150 feet, because if it would have been 150 feet or higher, he'd have had to put lights on it, and he didn't want to have my mom climb up there to change light bulbs when they burned out. So 148 feet, and I was just a little tight. The young man that was up here earlier, probably about his size, he's like, "Charlie, you want to climb that tower?" And no sooner had he got the words out of his mouth than I was about halfway up the tower with him screaming and hollering to come back down, because I didn't have a safety belt or nothing on. Okay? I wasn't afraid of heights, but I am afraid of snakes. So, will I not be afraid? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Okay? You know, just think about it. You know, the angels telling the shepherds, for instance, "Fear not, for behold, is born to you in this day in the city of David." Don't be afraid. You know, yes, I'm pretty sure that on a dark, even a moon, in a sky night with the full moon, the brightness of angels scared the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Doubt and weakness. "Never again will I harbor doubt and a lack of faith, and never again will I express my weaknesses because of this particular scripture here that says, 'The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?' The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'm not afraid of anybody or anything. You know, now, people could say that I should be afraid of heavyweight boxer like Mike Tyson or Evander Holyfield or something. I'm not afraid of them. I respect their abilities, but I'm not afraid of them. Okay. Whom shall I be afraid? the supremacy of Satan. The supremacy of Satan. Never again am I going to allow the supremacy of Satan to take over me. Oh, believe you me, give Satan half a chance and he's going to get in. He's going to find a way, just, you know, once he gets it started, it's just another turn of the screw, getting a tighter and tighter grip, a hold of you, if you ever, ever let Satan in. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That one text right there is a whole sermon in itself about being in the world and not of the world. Okay? And we are of God. We are a part of the... I love that song back in the 70s. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I am. That's why Gizmo and I can call each other brothers in Christ. And each one of you are my brothers and sisters here. Every one of you. And I hope I'm your brother too. Because we are of God. Because God who is in me is greater than Satan who is in the world. Never again am I going to admit defeat. Defeat. Ooh. True defeat. True defeat. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in our losses. No. Losses are defeat. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrances of His knowledge in every place, to diffuse the fragrance everywhere we go. You know, you go to a department store, and if they got the little girls with the cotton balls and the little sprayer thing, you walk in and you're almost from here to the back door and you can smell the fragrance of that perfume they're trying to promote, can't you? People can see the fragrance of Christ living in you by the way you act, what you do, what you say. You don't have to go around telling people you're a Christian. Okay? Food for thought. How many of you have ever heard the expression from a business person saying, honesty is the best policy? How many of you ever heard that phrase? All right. How many of you believe it? Okay. I disagree with you. Why? To me, honesty isn't the best policy. It is the only policy. If it is the best, that means there is another. And what can it be if it isn't honest? Dishonest. So no, if somebody says honesty is the best policy with me, thank you, goodbye. And I'm gone. Because honesty is the only policy with me. Okay? So, the fragrance of God, how you act, what you do, how you diffuse it. Okay, how you diffuse it. Okay. Oh, defeat. Now, I've hit the wrong way. We're going to triumph no matter what we do. That doesn't mean that maybe we may not have some speed bumps along the way. But we will triumph. You know, that's like your baseball's World Series. Whoever wins it may lose a few games along the way, but ultimately they win it, don't they? The winner. You know, it's not always a clean sweep whenever somebody wins something like that. There's usually some speed bumps, okay? Never again will I lack wisdom. I pray for wisdom on a daily basis for a lot of things. I mean, think of the wisdom that Solomon had. Okay? The two mothers fighting over the baby. You know? He's mine. No, I'll tell you what. We got a sword right here. Let's cut the baby in half, and each of you can have half of the baby. The real mother says, No, let her. The real mother has love for her child and knows what's best. That way Solomon had the wisdom to know how to discover the truth about what was going on. I pray for wisdom in all of my decisions. I pray for wisdom as to what to say. Every board meeting I'm at, we have a circle of prayer. Every member of the board, we go around in a circle and we have prayer before we start anything at a board meeting. All of us pray, not just one person having a devotion in prayer. We all pray. And then at the very end, I pray for wisdom for all of us to do it. As a volunteer chaplain at the hospital, when I get a list of who I'm going to visit that night when I work, I pray over that list that I can be a witness to somebody, I can share God's love with somebody. I pray for the doctors that they would have wisdom to make the right decisions, diagnosis, and skilled hands with everything they do. And I pray for the nurses to have keen and alert eyes as they monitor all the gadgets, gauges, test things used, all the supporting staff, and patient conditions, so that hopefully their stay can be a short one. I pray for that. I pray for wisdom for me, but for a lot of other people too, because it takes wisdom to know what to do. If you trust in your own judgment, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it sparingly to those who really, really beg and plead. No, sir. He gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You pray for that wisdom, it's going to come. Never again am I going to be worried or frustrated. I know there's been times I've been quite frustrated when things happen, and I can't figure out why. But I've learned, you know, if I'm like, Lord, why are you leading me through these troubled waters? You know what his answer is? Because your enemies can't swim. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens on Jesus. When you lay them at the foot of the cross, give them to Jesus. Do not pick them up and take them back with you. Leave them there. Leave them there. He's going to cast them to the deepest part of the sea, and I don't want to go looking for them. Never again am I going to be trapped in bondage. To let the bonds of sin and self take a hold of me. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And what is liberty? That's the freedom. I know that we talk a lot about having religious liberty, the freedom. I thank God that I have the freedom to come and worship here by the way I want to without having somebody or some government official telling me how I have to worship. I like the freedom and the liberty to worship the way I am because I know what's right. I don't want man to tell me how to worship God. I want God to tell me how to worship God through the Bible. Never again will I feel condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, to let the Spirit guide and believe. I know that there are a lot of situations that when there's a death in a family and stuff like that, you know what I pray for the family? Yes, there's going to be a void. That person is missing. And Father, I pray that you're going to send the Holy Spirit down to do its job and be the comforter to those that need it. Let the Holy Spirit be your comfort and be your guide. Okay? Feel a little bit better now? A lot of these scriptures have been reviewed for you. I hope you feel encouraged. that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do this. I'm not going to let this stuff bother me. Okay? I know that I can do it. I know that I can ask for the wisdom. I can ask for the courage. I can ask for the strength. I can ask for the guidance for the Holy Spirit to guide me into what I do. And when you cast your burdens on Jesus, He can lift that burden from you and give you the peace that passes all understanding in whatever situation you are, no matter where you go. I had a very good friend of mine. Some of you may remember Glenn Maxon. He was 90-something, upper 90s when he passed away about 2 years ago. He was a missionary, been all over the world. His son, Ben Maxon, just retired in California, had been with a general conference and stuff. And he and I used to have a lot of good chit-chats, and he was a big encouragement to me. And I'm going to leave you with his favorite words of encouragement to me. It was four simple words, basically, kind of like the four words that I like to tell people that I've learned after 37 and a half years. Happy wife, happy life. Okay? It's four simple words for any of life situations that you come across that I want to leave with you today. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Don't try to harbor all those things upon yourself. Don't try to manage things on yourself. Don't try to micromanage yourself. We've got all the words of encouragement we need in God's holy word. And if we pray for wisdom and we pray for the guidance of the Spirit, then He will. He has promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Use the power of God in whatever we do and praise His name the whole time.
Heavenly Father, You are mighty and powerful. May we carry You with us wherever we go today. May we not be afraid of anything, because You'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.